And we are live with another one, all you guys, gals, and non-binary pals of BC WrestlePod Land. And welcome to a live rendition of the Grapple Gurus, your somewhat bi-weekly, weekly, you know, whenever we decide there's a pay-per-view that needs to be reviewing, we are here to review it. And we have an extra special treat for you tonight, as we have some of the crew, and we are going to be here to review WrestleMania 40, but specifically night one of WrestleMania 40. I am the host with the most, the face that kind of runs the place, Mikey, who goes by El Jefe around these parts. And I have a lively crew joining with me. The WWE boys are here to review night one with me. And I'm going to quickly introduce them. First and foremost, you can find this lovely gent reviewing Dynamite in the Just R3 Gents team, as well as part of the Friday Night Faction review, who helps review Friday Night SmackDown. John, a.k.a. The Professor, is in the house.
Hi, everybody. I'm very excited to talk night one, now that we've had a few days to digest it. And we have sort of night two bookending it and sort of making choices. I don't know. We'll get into that. Like I've wavered back and forth. We were talking about this before we started, and I agree with the internet to a degree, but I also think some folks took some of this way too seriously, and I'm going to stick to my guns as best I can and, you know, not be on the fence, but I'm excited to talk about it. There's some great stuff in here.
It is. And then of course, joining us, rounding us out for the evening for now, hopefully our other co-hosts will be able to join us. But you can find him reviewing SmackDown alongside myself and the Professor. And he's also been running the gauntlet this weekend, because outside of Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, this man has been doing all the watch-alongs and is doing all of the reviews. This is the second one, but Mini, the Prodigy, is in the house. Welcome, my friend.
That's right. If you read correctly, that's right. I did pin the Lucha Dork. 4-3 count. SmackDown's been confirmed as the better show.
Did you do that? How'd you get Lucha? Don't, like, was he sleeping and you just fell or what?
Nah, I hit him with the One Ring Angel. You don't kick out of that.
Oh. Oh my goodness. We do have a fourth host, but hopefully he'll be joining us later. But if not, Luis, our newest acquisition here to BC WrestlePod after weeks of negotiation, but I think we got a fair trade.
Yeah, we're waiting on him. I would love to get him on here. I'm excited.
He's going to be like Jade Cargill. We're going to keep pushing it back, and then he's going to make his debut.
and then all of a sudden, clean house, and we're like, wow, they're the best. You're great. I'm so glad we got.
Oh my goodness. I'm so happy to be reviewing night one tonight with this crew. And I'm excited to also do night two. Look, it has been a long weekend. It has been a very fun weekend. And I am super excited to talk about night one specifically. But before we get into all those details, I started this during the Stand and Deliver review, but I am going to be doing this for all of our pay-per-view live streams, because especially after this week, the internet has kind of been more vicious than it needs to be. So I'm going to put this up here and read it. So, important notice. So, we are thrilled to invite you to dive into the world of wrestling with us at BC WrestlePod. Your opinions and insights are what make our wrestling community vibrant and diverse. Whether you are a longtime fan or new to the scene, your perspective is valuable. However, when sharing thoughts or commenting, let's remember to keep the conversation respectful and supportive. Wrestling is a passion we all share, and it is in our spirited discussions that we learn and grow together. Keyword being together. So let's celebrate our favorite moments, discuss the incredible matches, and maybe even debate the outcomes with kindness and respect. This is your warning, and if I find that you are in the comments section during the live or during the edit review saying not so nice things, you will be blocked. No, we ain't got time for that.
I was like, was that for us or was that for the people who fall?
I'm like, putting a blanket statement because there's a lot of our, you know, wrestling community YouTuber fellows that out there. And so putting a blanket statement out to say, you didn't tell me that. Well, now you know. Now
you didn't say I couldn't hate you. Except for you, Lucha Dork. Screw you.
So from now on, every time we do any live stream, whether it be for the the BC WrestlePod episodes, the pay-per-views, or the Rampage live stream reviews for me and Adolfo do, that is going to be read before everything, because y'all getting too wild this week, and we need to kind of like shut it down before it gets even wilder. But now that we got that out of the way, boys, let's get into what we're truly here for, to discuss night one of WrestleMania. Oh, it's so pretty.
That's lovely. Where is that from? That's from the WWE site?
Yep.
Nice.
Shout out to WWE.com with all of their previews of the whole pay-per-view, because this is where I got most of these graphics from. So all credits going to WWE and the photographers that took the pictures and the graphic artists who made the match cards. So good. But we are going to be reviewing night one of WrestleMania. So you're going to hear me say this a lot, but WrestleMania XL, a.k.a. WrestleMania 40, came to us live a Saturday night from Philadelphia. And as always, WWE likes to throw on theme songs for this. So this year's theme for WrestleMania 40 is Gasoline by The Weeknd. Me personally, love The Weeknd. This is not my favorite song by him. But by the end of The Weeknd, I couldn't stop playing it in my head because it kept playing in my head because they
They played it a lot. Yeah.
And of course, they used the good songs for the last other years, too. I was just like, it's fine.
It's fine.
Now that it was good, it's fine.
I
preferred Moth to the Flame, but you know, that's me.
I did not hate it. I get the feeling that The Weeknd said, okay, you can use that one. Like, I don't know if WWE dictated the terms necessarily, but.
Right.
It was good. It was fine.
Get that money, Abel.
Yeah, get that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We love it. Alrighty. So thankfully we didn't have a pre-show match because, you know, old school WWE used to throw a bunch of the matches on the pre-show.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful we didn't have
to. There's already seven matches on this card. We didn't need no pre-show.
Seriously.
A zero.
You know, we're not going to talk about Zero Hour because Zero Hour ended up being so much better than the main card for Super Card of Honor.
That's the curse of having a pre-show. Sometimes those matches are really, really good because there's no pressure.
Go check out the Ring of Honor review if you want to see our full thoughts.
Yeah, there's
all right, boys.
Okay, go get them.
So, The Weeknd, Gasoline, get that money, Abel. WrestleMania 40 Night 1 opens up with a banger for the Women's World Championship. We have the challenger, Becky Lynch, taking on the champion, Rhea Ripley. The story of how we got here is that back in February in Perth, Australia, there was a Women's Elimination Chamber where the winner would go on to face Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania for her title. Becky Lynch was the last woman standing after beating out multiple women in the forms of Raquel Rodriguez, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, Liv Morgan. It was chaos. It was great. It was fun.
Yeah.
And Becky was the last woman standing. And to be honest, for quite a while, we kind of left it alone as Becky was tangling with Nia Jax for a couple of weeks after Elimination Chamber. And it was only the last 2 weeks until WrestleMania where things got personal. And then these two just had a full-on brawl for the last 2 weeks leading into WrestleMania. All right. So according to reports, and, you know, this is allegedly because I want to hear it from Becky, you know, later down the line. Allegedly, Becky entered first. I loved her book entrance. I love the like skirt with all of the words from her book, which I think is a nice touch. But allegedly, Becky was wrestling with a high-grade fever and strep throat the whole entire time.
Yeah, which is horrifying to think about. Yeah.
That, and also I read, and I'm not 100% sure, but I read that before her match, too, Rhea had a full panic attack before the match, too.
At WWE World today, when she was doing a panel, Rhea was vulnerable, and she told the audience and the crowd and the moderators that prior to going out for her entrance, she was having a full-blown panic attack.
Wow.
It's weird how she had a panic attack for this match, but not the one in Perth, which is, like, to me, arguably bigger than this match.
Her hometown, yeah.
Panic attacks are scary, man. They come on, and it's a host of things, and it could be anything that triggers that. And I have some students and friends that deal with that, and it's tough. For anyone that's ever had to go through that, it's miserable and scary.
But they went on to put on a banger of a match.
An incredible match. Like, this set such a high bar for me that I was almost nervous afterwards because I was like, oh my God, what's going to match that? We just saw they were great. What's interesting now, knowing what we know, it looks like Rhea Ripley at times is trying to I don't want to say go lightly because that's not what I mean, but kind of pull the punches, not hit as snug as she could, not land things a similar way. And every time she does that, Becky turns around and hits Rhea really hard as if to say, no, get me. And Rhea responds and hits her even harder. There were a few of those moments in there that I thought were pretty wild. This was I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want to do the drinking game that we did during the live feed.
Now I got to do it.
I don't want to do it. But I will say there was something pretty amazing about the wind kind of blowing through their hair at these beautiful moments. Like, this just got like mythical. What is happening? And keep in mind,
Rhea broke the curse. Like, she came out with Motionless in the White singing her theme and she won her match.
Yeah.
And she won.
You're right.
I loved the way how she won it too, because she hit a riptide and instead of going off the top turnbuckle, she threw Becky on the turnbuckle like a buckle bomb riptide.
Yeah.
Then hit her with a riptide and pinned her like how every person ever wants to be pinned by mommy.
There was some really fun spots in here. For you MMA nerds, doing the Matt Hughes, Carlos Newton, I got you by the armbar powerbomb down thing three times in a row was just vicious. Some of the work on the outside of the ring was heavy. There was a leg drop that looked like it missed from Becky Lynch at one point, and I couldn't quite tell if Rhea was in the wrong position or the right position, but it was adjusted and looked like Rhea took it hard to the face.
I'm glad Rhea wasn't wearing gauges this match.
I was just gonna say that
because the last two pay-per-views we watched her gauges have popped out.
Well, and then her nose ring got ripped out. Was that a year ago? And we were
that was at Rumble
2 years ago. But yeah, some of these stiff shots are crazy. Becky hitting those on the turnbuckle, pulling her arm full back and holding it there. Some of those boots that there's some
Becky was fighting like a wolf.
And I wonder how much of that was, I don't want to leave anything on the table. And how much of it was, as everyone's been saying, the Michael Jordan flu game? Like, how much of this was, I'm sick, I'm going to rise above it, and just was sharper and more on point and sold a certain way and was in on it? This was fun it was great.
Yeah. I mean, Minnie, you hit it, because one thing I loved is Motionless and White, who does Becky, not Becky, who does Rhea's theme, was saying it live, which was really, really nice. I love that everyone had the meme. It's just like Rhea came out and sang her own theme song as the singer of Motionless and White.
She does it every week. People forget that. She does it every week.
I know,
week.
But I thought this was fantastic. Becky's my girl. I love Becky, but I think Rhea retaining was definitely the right decision, because I feel that Rhea has so much more left in her championship reign, especially leading into this while Becky was busy with Nia and Liv Morgan. Liv still needs to fight Rhea, because Rhea was the reason why Liv was out on injury. So I think we're building towards Liv and Rhea at SummerSlam, I think is going to be the plan, but who knows? But I think Becky is going to be taking some time off along with her husband.
Yeah. So, and rightfully so, right? They deserve that.
Much deserved.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the husband tomorrow.
Well, we talk about it. We'll talk about it a little bit tonight, but more tomorrow. Yeah.
Because in my opinion, he's the real MVP of all Mania.
Oh my gosh. You want to talk about the Workhorse Championship? That man pulled double duty and still was able to deliver a lot of fun. Like, so fantastic. But I'm happy that Rhea won, and I'm excited to see what, now that her match is over and then the season finale for her ended at the end of this match, we'll see what season 2 for Rhea Ripley brings.
How did Rhea had Becky on her shoulders? They went up and over the ropes and end up in the same position.
That was fantastic.
Like, some of these spots in here were great. I think her frog splash needs a little work, but that's me being nitpicky. But this was so great. This was a lot of fun. I loved it.
She's just trying to, be like her man, Dirty Dom, who's one of the prettiest ones.
It was fantastic, and this was a fun way to open up night one of WrestleMania. I thought this was a good match. They both did very well. Happy that mommy is still on top. It was really really good. All right, buckle yourselves in, kids, because then it just gets buck wild from here.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy, here we go. So the second match to go on after Rhea and Becky was the six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. the rules that were set forth by Michael Cole on the Go Home Show of Monday Night Raw. And I was thankful that he said it there. And we were reminded before the match started is that the way that this match is over is that both sets of titles need to be pulled off in order for the match to be over. However, a team does not need to grab both Raw and SmackDown titles. You can win the match by grabbing only one set, and the match continues until the second set is taken down. So now that we got the rules established, let's talk about all the teams that were involved in
Thank
this.
Thank fucking God.
Yeah, and we and you know, Andrew sighed. There was a sigh of relief from all the tag team nerds, including Andrew, even though he doesn't watch the product. Sort of like good
outside of NXT, yeah.
Right,
but
everybody was here. Yeah. Everybody was here.
Everybody was here. So the teams that were involved in this match include DIY, who were dressed like DX, which is hilarious.
You sure that wasn't? It looked like DX. You sure it really?
Yeah, that was.
Like, they even had like the DX like.
Logo
short, had the DX logo on the back. It looked like, yeah.
No, they even had like the on the screen. They had like the flashes, the heartbeat mark. Yeah,
it was so fantastic. But DIY versus Awesome Truth versus the New Catch Republic, and I was very upset. Whoever's in the production truck should get fired because they kept playing the video stuff for Awesome Truth.
Yeah,
when they came out, I was like, you're fired.
Oh, that was so messed up.
That was not right.
That was not great. But New Catch Republic versus everyone's favorite A-Town Down Under.
And Creed and Creed.
And then
love it. Yeah. Love it.
The New Day, a.k.a. Creed and Creed, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston. And then, of course, you had our defending champs, the Judgment Day, being represented by Damian Priest and Finn Balor. And my first question was, what were those masks? I was like, what?
It was like knockoff Batman villain and Majora's Mask ripoff.
It was an Atari version of Majora's Mask. There were a few questionable masks. We'll talk about another one that showed up later. I don't know. I get it to a degree, and Will could talk about this too. If you have a costume budget, blow it on something, right? Because this just mask everybody. Let's throw things out there. There are some incredible spots in this match, and we would be here for hours if we talked the whole thing down, but there's some just, what I was talking about before we even started, Tyler Bate has Finn and the ladder on his shoulders and has to sell struggling, even though he can do it easily, and then just starts spinning. I think that was a bit of a miscue. I think more people were supposed to be in the ring getting destroyed by the ladder. Kofi was the only one that made it in there on time.
Still impressive.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, shout out to my friend Uriel, because he had the quote of the night. It's just like, bro, Tyler Bate looks like he has the turkey thighs.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Huge.
Bro, I was just like, and then, you know, Andrew broke the news to me that apparently Tyler Bate and Sol Ruka are a thing. So I was like, that actually makes sense. That really makes a lot of sense.
Fair.
I was like, they're kind of cute. I was like, but anyways, Tyler Bate, man, I'm like, oof.
R-Truth trying to get tagged in and getting tagged in and then getting a three Truth count was
the
amazing.
First man in a ladder match history to get tagged in on a hot tag in a ladder match.
That's amazing. I'm so glad he's there and he's having a blast and just trolling everyone and laughing and having fun. This is something that I called around a few weeks back on SmackDown. Like, I really hope that someday he's in a ladder match and the belt is there. And Simon Miller made the same call a few weeks back. I was like, oh, please, 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 please. So
they pulled the trigger on it.
I might be biased, but I think that was a nod to everyone thinking the same thing.
The broken ladder.
Okay, so I went and watched this. Mikey was here as I was watching it, trying to find when it actually happened. It buckles when Austin goes up to get... Oh, who's he going to get? I can't... Austin climbs the ladder to get it, and you just see the whole thing go, king! And then Kofi goes up the ladder anyway. So there's a few times they're going up and down that ladder with it all bent on that far side.
Right, and then there's a point where Damian Priest was going there, and the ref was like yapping him, telling him, like, don't go up that ladder, it's broken. Right. And he just does it anyways, it goes up the other side.
And then the Miz knows it's broken, and Miz climbs up that side anyway. Which was...
Here's my conspiracy theory on that. So I think Miz realized that the ladder was going to fall, And then since Damian wasn't listening to referee Jessica, I think Miz purposely went in. They did the thing and they both fell off. And then you notice that Damian and Miz throw that ladder out as soon as they both fall to the ground.
R-Truth throws another one in.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you. Because it looked like R-Truth was the first one to notice, but stuff was still happening. So I absolutely agree. Yeah, the Miz must have run up there and been like, hey, man, I'm going to get off the ladder.
And did they say anything during the pre-show, the post-show like interviews and stuff like that about the broken ladder?
No, I haven't seen anything. The press conferences drive me nuts, so I didn't watch them, so I don't know.
I watched part of the night twos, but I didn't watch part of the night. I didn't watch part ones. Yeah.
They didn't mention anything from what I saw about the broken ladder, but shout out to referee Jessica. She's my hero of this match.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to JD Madonna for taking the table spot.
That table spot was scary because he could have missed that easily.
Also, can I say shout out to Pete Dunne for taking that massive DDT onto the table?
That was such a cool spot.
Huge.
That was
how about
nuts.
Kofi jumping backwards after him and Austin are like, I'll take care of it. Okay, I got this. He didn't look.
He looks
for a second and goes, peace, poof, and just blind dives back. Oh, and everybody was there for him, but my goodness.
There was a lot of crazy stuff.
I don't remember what the teams were. God, but both teams got into the ring. They're like, no, you go for these ones. We'll go for these ones. Okay.
That was awesome. Truth and DIY at the top. It was like, tell you what. You get that one, we'll get that one.
And the funny thing is, they were like, you get the Raw ones, and they're the SmackDown team. And it's like, we'll get the SmackDown team.
Which, you know, was a nod to everything behind the scenes. This was a lot of fun. Potential. I've seen a lot of ladder
matches in my day. I was at AEW when Hobbs broke a ladder in San Francisco. Yes, I was. This was a lot of fun. This was a blast to watch. They were communicating all over the place. Everyone got their spot and moment to shine. They never split the focus. I think sometimes that's dangerous with these. There's a fine line between everybody's active and we're not splitting the focus so nobody gets shown up. And I think they did that beautifully.
My only gripe in this match is they've shown that wrestlers can fucking climb ladders with how A-Town... I was fine with how A-Town Down Under won the match, but... Austin Theory climbed that ladder in 0.4 seconds. And then later, Newcastle was climbing the ladder and he couldn't climb it worth shit when we just watched Austin Theory climb a ladder in half a second.
Yeah, okay. And that was Andrew's biggest thing too. He was so mad because of how they do it. Like Austin and Grayson literally ran that thing like it was nobody's business. And Grayson had no problem taking it down. I was like, there was no struggle. There was no, let's push this tag team off. Let's capitalize. Like, everybody was down. And then they just ran up the ladder, like, without trying to make it,
I guess in the new era, the Paul Levesque era of WWE, wrestlers can finally climb fucking ladders.
And I think the other gripe I had with it is, like, we were, like, what, 6-7 minutes into the match, and then, like, immediately we had one title taken down, and then we had, like, a good 7 more minutes before the other ones were, and I was like, well, that was kind of fast. But, I mean, A-Town Down Under grabbed the SmackDown titles first. Grayson Waller receives a burning hammer through the ladder from New Catch Republic. Yeah. I was like, they're gonna feud for. I hope that's the first feud for those titles on SmackDown.
I thought New Catch Republic really showed out here too, and I love me New Day. I miss them. I want to see more of them, but they're on Raw, and I don't watch Raw. Maybe I should check out Raw, but. I thought everyone looked strong. Everyone had a moment.
SmackDown's the best show.
SmackDown's the soap opera. Raw's the wrestling show, right?
Hey, you know what? Reportedly, we have a draft. So for 1 week only, we can draft.
No, is there a draft again?
Yeah, supposedly we're getting a draft in a month. But we have to figure out a way to get Cody to stay on SmackDown because the title, you know, spoiler alert, the title that he has now is exclusively to SmackDown. But who knows? We'll see.
They might switch the titles like they did back in the old days. The WWE Championship. Was
I hate
on.
The draft so much. Maybe they'll fix it. I hate the draft.
Hardboy was on SmackDown, so.
But you know, that's future WWE boys to figure it out. So that was the first win. And Austin, once he went through, not Austin, when Grayson went through that ladder, he was out for the rest of the match. And then the best thing happened because R-Truth got his WrestleMania moment after all was said and done. It took him a little bit, but he climbed up the ladder. But everyone was like waiting to come in to push him off the ladder, but R-Truth finally got the Raw Tag Team Championships off of the Hook. And so your new Raw Tag Team Champs are Awesome Truth. And it was such a nice moment to see R-Truth and Miz celebrating and R-Truth crying on top of the ladder. It was so beautiful. And Miz was so happy for him, oh, man.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I think that was R-Truth's first WrestleMania win.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Someone said that was one of his... He's done WrestleManias before, right? He must have.
Yeah, for maybe the jokes and the backstage, but this is his first like big championship win.
I was
going to
say, someone had said this was his first WrestleMania, period. And I was like, that can't be right. He's been around forever, but it could be. I'd have to go look.
I don't know.
Well, happy for him. Absolutely happy for him.
And the fact that the dude's 50 years old is still hitting fucking insane moves.
Incredible.
This was a really, really fun match. I thought this was fantastic. And thank goodness we finally split the titles, which is what everyone has wanted for the longest time.
We had to.
So now that they've been split, we can do fun little story. Look, I think the Raw tag team scene is going to be a lot of fun, but selfishly enough, I'm looking forward to SmackDown because you got New Catch Republic, A-Town Down Under. Pretty deadly.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be super fun. This was a fantastic match. This was chaos incarnate, which is what we want from the from ladder matches like this. This was great. So once this match was over, we slide into the next one. Okay, so this is where things start to get a little dicey for me.
What's with Dom's picture?
Look, you blame WWE. I pulled this from WWE's website, so that's their fault. But so we get a tag team.
What's
match
Andrade looking at?
Okay, so Charlotte was off to the side when they took these photos.
He's like, wait, oh man, they should have so fantastic. Anyway,
so this was a tag team match that saw Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio taking on Rey Mysterio, and a last minute addition to this match, Andrade El Ídolo. So let's talk about how we got to this point, because originally when I made this slideshow leading days before SmackDown, it was Rey and Dragon Lee versus Santos and Dominic. Then on the go home show for Friday Night SmackDown, which we did not cover because Ring of Honor was on at the same time. So the Ring of Honor boys did that. Dragon Lee was mysteriously attacked backstage. And so Rey needed to find a new partner. And so there was a little confrontation with Dom and Santos in the ring with Andrade. And because they now share a common enemy, Rey decided to pick Andrade to be his tag team partner, to the chagrin of Carlito, because Dragon Lee also got picked and Carlito was mad 2 weeks ago when Rey picked Dragon Lee instead of Carlito. We all know Carlito is turning heel at some point. So it is what it is at this point. So this is how we got here. Dominic interfered in a match between Santos and Rey, helping Santos pick up the victory. So this is where things get a little dicey for me. And I had two problems with this match. Number one, for me personally, I thought the match was fun. My first big issue is Dom, I feel like, should have won here to even the score out. Ooh. I think Dom and Santos should have won here. I know Rey is a legend. But for me personally, from a storytelling perspective, it does Dom no good to have Rey not put this kid over and have it 1-1 so you can build to one blowout match next year if you wanted to. Because Rey's getting up there. He's going to be retiring very soon. Yeah,
we can talk about that. Carry on.
The other big issue that I had is, I know we're in Philadelphia and we got to get the sports references, is I thought the match was going well until we got the interference from these two hulking luchador masked individuals, which helped Rey and Andrade win. And to me, I was like, I feel like Rey and Andrade shouldn't need outside help to be able to win this match. And then it was revealed that it was Jason Kelsey and another Philadelphia Eagle. I was like, all right. Johnson. Yeah. I was like, all right, we just got to shoehorn them in.
Which Johnson is huge.
Yeah, that man is huge.
That man is almost huge. He's got to be 6'8", 6'7", massive.
Yeah, I think he's a starting left tackle.
Yeah, he's a beast. I thought this match was fun. I agree with you on the overbooking. I don't think we needed it. But for some reason, Rey Mysterio keeps ending up in these sponsored matches, and these sponsored matches are always sort of let's love the Homer matches, right? That's just kind of how these tend to go.
Okay.
I'm not just forgiving it, but I agree. I can see
side
both
note really
it.
Quick. I found it kind of racist that the sponsor was Agua Frescas. And we're also going to talk about the women's six tad and how you had three black girls and they were sponsored by Wingstop.
And then you had a bunch of other things with butts on the screen. And it was called Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes.
So this match started off really fun. I loved launching what's his name 100 feet through the air and just going for it. That was gorgeous. Scary, that was, but beautiful.
They did it in NXT too, and that one was crazier because they got height on that one. He almost touched the ceiling did it in NXT.
This is wild. I don't mind them playing to the home crowd. I don't hate that. I agree with you, though. Traditionally, it was sort of like, yeah, you don't need help here. Does it lessen the win? I don't know. I could go either way. I do see your point on Dom, though, now that I'm thinking about it. I wonder if now Dom can finally get away from Judgment Day just a little bit to start this Rey Mysterio thing again so we can go somewhere. I could take it or leave this. I don't. It's kind of a meh ending. Like, oh, that happened. Oh, okay. Santos and Dom kind of rush the 619 like to get into position at the end. So there's a little bit of a miscue on where are we, what are we doing, how are we getting here thing. I will say, Rey on Andrade's shoulders, both of them jumping off the apron, catching Dom and Santa. Like, what was that thing?
That weird crazy electric chair crossbody combo. Yeah, thing.
That was cool.
How cool was that? So I love seeing things I've never seen before. And WrestleMania Night 1, for its problems, there was a lot of things I'd never really seen before. Like, oh my God. Yeah. I think storyline-wise, I'm sort of like, yeah, what are we doing? Match-wise, it fit in with WrestleMania. Because again, and we talked about this, these are folks that only, there's a whole host of fans that only show up once a year for WrestleMania. And you're catering to them a little bit because you want their tickets and you want to pump Philly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't hate it. If they had done this every match, or if they'd made this a big thing, then after a while, I didn't hate it. I was sort of lukewarm to it. I'm wavering. I know I should be pitchforks and torches. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I love Rey. I've been this childhood idol. This match could have been so much better and it could have ended so much better. I feel like it was just rushed.
Yeah.
They played it safe.
I think that's what it is. I think they played it safe.
And I feel like this was a good match, but I would expect what we saw like on a Raw or SmackDown, not for WrestleMania.
See,
and
I think that might be the thing, right? This felt like a SmackDown.
This felt like a go-home match from SmackDown. It was good, but you're at WrestleMania, the grandest stage of them all. Right. This is like the Super Bowl for WWE, the season finale in WWE Universe lore.
Keep on. So this is WrestleMania 40.
Yes.
40.
So this is a huge WrestleMania. Probably, and like I said, I watched part two of night two. By every standard and statistic, Triple H did say this was the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
It
blew every record out of the water.
Sure.
Every single one.
And you can see why. Like the way the titles were exchanged or not exchanged, the way everything went down. Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked it to death. Yeah, I think we were all kind of wanted something, but
yeah. And I was also mad at this match because it gave me my loss in my predictions.
Oh, that's why.
I got half of the tag team championships right because I did pick Awesome Truth, but I picked New Catch Republic to win. But
I didn't. I all my picks were second night. I didn't get my picks for night one in time, so I'm not gonna.
It's okay. So yeah, this match was good, but I wanted more. You're on WrestleMania. The stage should be grander.
I thought it showcased Andrade pretty well. Not to talk this to death. I thought it showcased Andrade really well as you know. Huge muscle face. The double knee that he threw to Dom was horrifying.
Ooh, so great.
And took my breath away. So Andrade kind of showed out a little bit. So he got a deserved WrestleMania moment. And I want to see more from Andrade for sure. But I think I agree mostly with everything else we've been talking about.
All righty. So I was like, all right, well, this match is next. Match was done. I was like, okay. So you know what? Not necessarily what I expected, but I still had a good run.
Oh, then there's this match.
Okay.
Okay.
Hang on, before we get started, Professor. All right, now let's begin.
This match sucked.
Oh my gosh, bro. I was so disappointed. Okay. Jimmy versus Jay.
I expected so much more from these two. Like spoiler for night two, their little bit that they had on the ramp of night two was better than their whole fucking match.
This match makes me wonder what was going on. Does that make sense? There was something that didn't feel right between the two of them. Either it was, we're going to play this emotional thing, or we're going to have somebody interfere, or because you had this huge family package leading into this, right? This was sort of what we wanted from the Bloodline stuff a year ago, was kind of bringing the family. Let's talk about history. Let's get the family tree up there. Let's talk about all of this. And they kind of did. And then this match was so measured at the top. It felt like it never started. It felt like we got here. We're going to do this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing. Jimmy has the fake out. I'm sorry. It's over. It's not over. He faked you out. And then it was done. And there was no wow factor. There was no, I've seen them argue better in promos. I've seen them fight better. We just came off something where they fought each other. Like, there was a lot of moments that they've had where it just clicked. This one felt so off to me. I want to know what happened.
Don't forget, they also soupy kicked each other for like 2 minutes.
For 2 minutes, just because they could. It's like, Mikey, you'll understand this. When sometimes a student fails a test that you know they shouldn't fail. And it's like, how did you, you shouldn't have failed that at all. Like, you're brilliant and you know this material. What's going on with you? And you go to the kid and you find out, oh, something happened at home, or, oh, these kids are making fun of me, or, oh, I just wasn't feeling it and I was tired, or, oh, there's something else wrong. There was something underneath that felt not Jimmy and Jay.
I 100% agree. Something felt off with this match, because we know what these guys can do. We've seen what they can do, and this was not it.
And I don't know. I don't want to let them off the hook either, because they're professionals and it's WrestleMania. And if you're not going to get up for that, what are you going to get up for? And again, I'm just a dude on my couch who can only do 22 pushups at a time. I can't do anything they do. They're amazing. So I don't want it to sound like I'm preaching either. But there's a little bit of me that's like, what happened? And I'm wondering if we're ever going to know.
Okay. So obviously this was not my favorite. Hang on, really cool. You know, I got to find the words to articulate, but before
you can light them up, light them up, crush them. You had the disclaimer and everything. Let's go.
All right. I'm going to light them up in a hot sec. But all right. Now that we've got that out of the way again for the second time. So here are my big issues with this match. This was the worst match of night one. This was the worst match of the whole entire WrestleMania weekend. And anyone can fight me on that one. Oh. And I will go as far as to say this was the worst match of the four pay-per-views that we are covering for WrestleMania weekend. That includes Supercard of Honor, which wasn't necessarily stellar in its execution either.
All the Supercard of Honor was better than this match.
I mean, to be fair,
keep going. No, you're go get him, Spicy Mikey. Here we go. Here we go.
I think the problem that I had with this particular match in the buildup is that there was a lot of emotional substance behind it, because these are legit twins. These are legit brothers. Like, there's an angle that you can use, and there's raw emotions when you are fighting a sibling. Like, this is literally a sibling rivalry turned, like, everyone got involved. Like, hearts were broken. This match should have been super emotional. Everyone should have cried. From a storytelling perspective, I feel what happened was, is because that video package was better than what the match itself. Like, we were about to see two brothers fight. They're on opposite ends, the different paths they took due to Roman and everything. My biggest problems with this match is that emotional weight was not present in this match. And I was so mad at Jay because Jimmy punked him. I was like, dude, he punked you so much the last couple of months. And then he's like, I'm sorry. I would have thought more highly of this match had Jimmy gotten close and was just like, no, and then kicked him in the face. Like, I'm done. I was like, you've been punking me this whole time. I'm dumb. But what does Jay do? He falls for the stupid baby face trap they always do. It's like, oh, maybe he's turning new leaf. Psych. Like, it was.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, I'm not a fight choreographer person. Like, I don't do fight choreography. But I feel that it was just, it's like this match was like from beginning to end, from bell to bell, I felt like ChatGPT like picked certain spots and tried to cram them together. It was unorganized. It was paint by the numbers. It did not flow the way that it should have. And then the ending was very lackluster. This match was so bad. And I was so disappointed with this match because this should have been more. I mean, I've heard rumors and reports that they might continue to feud for a little bit, but I'm like, why? You had a chance to do something great. And then I would have been more invested in seeing and more matches after that. So this was only the first one. But because this match was such a poor presentation, I am not excited if we're getting more matches between the two, because this match tanked so bad for me.
I'm trying to get a timestamp on this. This looks like they did not get very much time. It looks like, and I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to pull it up here correctly. If my count is right, and I don't think it is, this is coming up at like 7 minutes. They did not get a lot of time here, which I don't want to let them off the hook. That's not what I'm trying to do. And I think folks, Mikey, I'm not going to jump on you. Oh, they got a little, no, from bell to bell. It looks like it's almost 8 minutes. I think everyone's ragging on them hard because they wanted this to explode. They wanted this to be the bloodline thing that we 2 years ago were like, let's go, boom, you know, Jimmy pulling Jay off of Roman, like all of this. And something's wrong. Something's just not right here. And I don't know if it would, I would say meddling if Vince was there, because it's easy to blame he who shall not be named. But I said Vince, and I did the horrible thing. I did the wrong thing. I'm sorry. I totally botched it. I don't know, man. I just feel like there's something we don't know. That's all I can chalk it up to. Cause it's like we know they're so much better and they could do so much more. They didn't go outside the ring. They didn't do tables. They didn't jump off anything. They barely, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out years from now, but yeah. I mean, it was sponsored by Dude Wipes, so that might have been in their head the whole time.
Oh. Yeah, I was like, man, I really need a wipe after this.
Dude Wipes. Oh, we got to wrestle under Dude Wipes.
I need the Men in Black to memory wipe this match from memory. Like,
yeah.
I was so disappointed is the best way to describe my final thoughts on this. I was just very disappointed. So, moving on. Which then, you know, I had a small pick-me-up, because then we get into our six women tag. We have Damage Control, which is being represented by our women's tag team champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane, the Kabuki Warriors, along Dakota Kai, which shout out to Dakota. Love the outfit, girl. Hey. Listen, we responsibly ogle our men's and women's here in wrestling.
Oh, yeah. We're looking at all y'all. Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Look at this picture. Gorgeous. First and foremost, the entrance for Damage Control was so good.
But they look good, and then Asuka just terrifies me.
But I'm kind of into it.
I mean, if that awakens something in you, go ahead.
But I will. But, you know, the entrance for me was really, really beautiful. I love the flowers and the geishas. It was, it was so good.
If they can drop flowers, why can't they drop solo cups?
That's a whole different conversation for tomorrow, but Damage Control made their entrance, and then, like I say, they took on the team of Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi, which I have unofficially dubbed them as Black Girl Magic, because look at this photo. Look at this photo.
That's like late 90s Destiny's Child energy. Like, we are here to take over and destroy the world. Gorgeous. All three of them gorgeous.
So good. Now, as far as the match goes,
I totally the photo looks nothing like what they did at WrestleMania.
I know. I am okay with that, though. I am okay with that. Yeah. But as far as the actual match goes, you know, I knew what to expect in this one. I wasn't expecting them to go like 15 minutes. I wasn't expecting anything shenanigans. This match was ultimately to get Jade her first big win now that she's on the main roster and she's officially debuted.
Sure.
And, you know, but I have to say, this is how you do a match correctly when you have someone who is still new to professional wrestling, because 5 out of 6 of these women are vets. And then Jade, who has been, is no slouch either, because she has like 3 years of rest, 3 or 4 years of wrestling now, but she's still learning the WWE way of wrestling. And my gosh, they did a phenomenal job in making her look great by hiding the stuff she needs to work on. But I gotta say, for me, my MVP in this whole entire match is I gotta give it to Dakota. Dakota actually killed it for me in this match. I love the spam the finisher sequence where everyone did their finishers at the end. Jade looking powerful and then hitting Jaded. This was a fun match. It was short, but you know what? It was fantastic. It did what it needed to do. Everyone looked great. This was a lot of fun for me
Jade,
to watch.
Jade was booked like the Ultimate Warrior, like the 80s big powerhouse. Like she came in, didn't do much, but when she came in, it was like every move she hit was big. And she looked invincible.
She also didn't run like a 440 sprint.
No, she doesn't need to.
Having an asthma attack.
No, she doesn't need to. She can just walk on my chest and I'll be okay with that.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. Sorry, I had a moment where that image just kind of appeared. Look, I agree. I tend not to listen to the internet, but one of the things that I heard on the internet was that this should have gone longer. And I agreed with the internet after watching night one. I was like, yeah, this should have gone way longer. They all deserved way more time. And then now 2 days away and I'm thinking about it more and more. What more could I have gotten out of it? And it left me wanting more of it. So in the end, yeah, maybe less was more for this match, even though I love all of them and they were fantastic. You have Asuka accidentally blowing the mist and getting Kairi Sane. You have a Jade in the finisher, which is looks like it hurts every single time. There's something about, and I don't know if y'all caught this, they put a sound effect on top of Bianca Belair's hair whip, and it sounds...
That was so loud.
So weird that it's the Indiana Jones whoosh, right on top of the chest. And they did it in the replay, and it was the exact same sound. Which that's not how sound works. So that was kind of a took me out of it moment, but it was funny. But I'd rather it be that than actually, you know, getting people bloody and splitting them up because of the hair whip thing. But whatever. This was fun. And I part of me goes, yeah, I'm sad to see women's wrestling kind of get hosed and them getting that much time when Jimmy and Jay kind of did what they did for not that much time. So there's a little bit of a standard there, but I don't know. I'm going back and forth on this because watching the replays and watching it right here, I'm like, I would have loved to watch this for 10 more minutes. But is that fair? Was Jade ready for 10 more minutes? Could they have held her up? Could this have happened? Could that have happened? Or is it enough to leave me wanting more so that they can have better booking later on? I'm kind of okay with, if that's the answer, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah. This was a fun match. I mean, obviously I'm biased because before this, it was the absolute stinker. So these women definitely were the little pick-me-up. So Black Girl Magic picks up the victory. Yes, I don't know if that's their official name, but I am calling them Black Girl Magic. Until we get an official name for this trio, which it seems like they're going to be sticking together. And I watched a little bit of the night one press conference. And can I say, I mean this in the best way possible. Hold up, let me put this up here real quick. Okay. Look, all three of these girls do it for the culture is the academic way to put it, because during the press conference, they were allowed to be just them. They're just literally Black Girl Magic. Their mannerisms, the way that they talk to each other, like the chemistry is there. And I want WWE to capitalize on them because I think they have something special with these three girls. I think it's fantastic. This was a fun match. So then we get into our semi-main event. Again, we're going to look at these beautiful pictures one more time. So good. Semi-main event time, and my match of the whole entire two nights of WrestleMania, outside of what happened on the main event for night two for personal reasons, but this was my match of the night, my match of WrestleMania night one and two, but not my match of the whole entire weekend of the four pay-per-views that I watch. Spoiler alert, my match of all four pay-per-views that I watch is going to go to Lyra and Roxanne at Stand and Deliver. I thought that was my favorite match of the whole entire four pay-per-views, but this was definitely my match of WrestleMania 40 for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Gunther defending his title, sitting at 666 days as champion.
Which is kind of awesome. That's pretty awesome.
It is. The Ring General is the going into this as champion at 666 days, taking on the underdog challenger in Sami Zayn.
He hit Sami so hard the whole time.
That's what Gunther does.
Like, some of those boots were painful. Even when they put it in slow motion, it was like, oh, that must have felt awful. Well, Sami can chop. Sami broke some blood vessels on Gunther earlier on and made this a match. I don't mind family angles, but it seems like everyone has a family angle now. If it's either two brothers or your wife's in the audience, or look, your mom's in the audience, or it's starting to cheapen it a little bit. If everything's special, nothing special sort of thing. Like, come on, why does everyone have a family member in the crowd to get me crying? But I didn't hate it. And they seem like a cool couple. Like, I would hang out with them, but I'm never going to meet them. So there's fair. There's some lovely spots in this. This was a match that, and we talk about this, like if you want to show someone what pro wrestling is and you say, this is storytelling, this is how storytelling works in pro wrestling, this is textbook storytelling in wrestling, right? Commentary blew it by building up the underdog thing too much, because about halfway through this, if you're really listening, it's like, oh, this is Rocky versus Ivan Drago. Oh, this is going to be the underdog story. Oh, Sammy's going to look like he can't win and then he's going to win. And that lessened it a little for me, to the point where I wish I turned off commentary. But that's not a them problem. That's a me problem. I thought this was a great match. Sammy was able to get Gunther up and over his head a handful of times. Like, Sammy's no slouch. Sammy's amazing at this stuff. The last maybe 2 minutes are probably some of the better storytelling in wrestling that I've seen in a long time. At least, I'll say this, probably for all of WrestleMania, the last 2 minutes of this had me more invested than the rest of all the things that happened night one and night two. Like, this really had me leaning forward. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen for Sammy. More so than someone finishing their story. For some reason, this one was, it's here. So, yeah.
They allowed a brainbuster on a turnbuckle.
Oh, my goodness.
They did it. And the funny thing is, I was on Twitter, and there was like a genuine, a few people were like, oh, they flopped. It was a botch. They messed it up. Like, no, that was a legit move. He hit a brainbuster on the turnbuckle.
Yep.
The double huluva kick. Voila. Sami Zayn is new Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, that's so great.
And he pushed Gunther to the World Championship scene.
Yes. That's the important part.
Yes. I think that's exciting because it gives us somewhere to go when we go to Germany, right? Like, oh, damn.
We have until August.
Something. Yeah.
So we got time to build Gunther to a big match at Bash in Berlin, which I have thoughts on who his first opponent should be. If you want to hear that, you should check out our Stand and Deliver review, because we talked about that a little bit. So just to give a quick synopsis for the professor here, Minnie knows this. We think that Ilya Dragunov should be Gunther's first opponent, because Ilya is ready to head to main roster too. And we get part three. Professor knows where I'm going because we have showed him the first two interactions. Those two had matches from NXT UK and NXT Takeover 36.
Oh, my heart be still. How is that even possible? Could that even happen?
Well, so conspiracy theory time, because we talked about this during Stand and Deliver. We would like, so Ilya walked out of Stand and Deliver. You know, he walked out of Stand and Deliver as the NXT champ, beating Tony D'Angelo. It was a fun match and everything. We stated that because we have two pay-per-views for NXT coming in June and July, Battleground and Heatwave. Regardless of where Ilya drops the title at, we at the NXT crew, and Minnie, we talked about this and we agree that Ilya should drop the strap to Trick Williams, either at Battleground or at Heatwave. It was crazy.
That'd be amazing. That'd be so cool.
I'm going to show this comment from someone who's watching us really quickly, because they do bring up a good point. So KJ Spark says, this match was meh for me. The whole intro with Kevin Owens just let you know who was going to win the match way before it happened. Really took the steam out, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. They played too much of that. That's a great comment. Thank you for watching. I agree. I think they built this up too much. They didn't have to overscript this. trust that your audience is smart.
There's a person watching. That's cool.
Minnie's in awe. Thank you for watching. We appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, KJ.
You're absolutely we're absolutely there. And again, like if we're looking at wrestling as storytelling, this is textbook. It's fun. Sammy sells all of it. And again, the last 2 minutes of this, I was fully invested. Everything around it, and I wish commentary didn't blow it. Making all the underdog references, and you're right, all the pre-show, whatever. Yeah, it's kind of. I think that could have been done better. Absolutely right.
Right.
Still was a great match, though.
Still a great match. Gunther's.
It was still a great match, but I totally agree. Commentary kind of blew the lead a little bit, and they're just like they kept overselling it, and they didn't need to.
That first kick from Sammy to Gunther gets Gunther's shoulder and then creeps up behind the ear. If you've ever been punched behind the ear, that's an on and off switch. So I'm just glad Gunther was still in the match after that.
My goodness.
Continue, please.
But after the brainbuster and the two haluva kicks, Sami Zayn is your new Intercontinental Champion. And like Minnie had said, now this is great because now we're going to push Gunther to the world title picture. And I think we're setting up something. If not for Clash at the Castle, Bash at Berlin should be like the big coming out party for Gunther in the main title picture, which is going to be fantastic for sure. All right, kids, we're moving on to our main event, which was, boy, howdy, here we go.
All right.
So this is a tag team match that had stipulations that this was Seth freaking Rollins and Cody Rhodes taking on the Bloodline being represented by Roman Reigns and The Rock. The stipulations were as followed. Should Roman and Rock win this tag team match, then the main event between Roman and Cody on night two would be a Bloodline rules match, which basically means anything goes. But if Seth and Cody won the match, then everyone was going to be banned from ringside and it would just be strictly one-on-one. Spoiler alert, we knew that that wasn't going to happen. All right, but before we get into talking about this match, because opinions are going to fly, we're going to read this last part of it. When sharing thoughts or commenting, let's remember to keep the conversation respectful and supportive. Wrestling is a passion we all share, and it's in our spirited discussions that we learn and grow together. So let's celebrate our favorite moments, discuss the incredible matches, and maybe even debate the outcomes with kindness and respect.
I don't mean disrespect the disclaimer by laughing at it. I'm sorry, Mikey. It's just the way you pulled that up, right? Okay,
it's going to be a fun bit going forward for now. It's like, hold up, before we get started. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So this was from video package, entrances, and the match itself. This was a whole hour, you guys. This is an hour. And this ended up being longer than the main event on night two. Check out our live stream tomorrow, plug in that for the rest of the boys that are going to be here. So but the entrances were 20 whole minutes.
And I was talking to you before we started. I got a buddy who has just started wrestling again. Did I say this at the top? Did I already mention this guy?
You mentioned it off camera, but yeah.
I'll mention it here. I got a dear friend who hasn't watched wrestling in forever and saw something on TikTok about 2 weeks ago and was like, oh, hey, The Rock's back and doing things. Okay, maybe I'll check it out. He watched a SmackDown. He watched a few things, and then he follows The Rock, and then he was all in on WrestleMania this weekend. Wanted to know everything. Was texting me during night one, and I was like, yeah, this. After night two, I had to call him and debrief him about everything for the last 2 years. Like, here's what's been going on. He adored this match. Partly because, and now you can go either way with this, it's kind of speaking directly to a demographic of people who watched The Rock and wanted The Rock back from the Attitude Era and got me interested. I love that The Rock was moving, not like he did 20 years ago, but moving pretty well for this kind of match. Took some bumps, took some shots, held his own and did great. Also looks huge.
Do you see the one part where he was, I think he kicked Seth or Cody, I don't remember, in his side of the ring in the turnbuckle. He kicked him in, like, his knee gave out, and he fell headfirst into the turnbuckle and then got up real quick.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. It was, like, all over Twitter, and I cannot find it again. Oh, that killed me.
I thought it was funny that he just kept spitting on people. He was like, I'm just going to drink water and spit.
Seth did it first. He was like, yeah, that's fucking cool. I'm going to do it now. Fuck you.
So There's a part of me that does like the fact that I felt like I was watching wrestling when I was 16, 17, 18. That's not fair to impose. That's a me problem, not a them problem. Again, and we said this earlier, I'm going to say it. This was a SmackDown match. This was a Raw. This felt like a go-home match to me, and it shouldn't have. It should have had just a hint more spectacle. I like that they went out the ring. I thought they did better than a lot of other matches we've seen go out of the ring and sort of get lost. They seem to have that contained pretty well. So I don't know. They sold well. It was fun. Did this need to be 47, 49 minutes long from bell to pin? I don't know. Mikey's boiling over. Mikey, what do you want to say?
So Andrew and Minnie, the three of us, along with my friend Uriel, the four of us had a brief kind of discussion after night one went off the air and we talked about this match. And one of the things that I brought up that I'm going to bring up here is that I thought for a match that was a precursor, and now again, this was immediately after night one, night two had not happened yet. And so this was past me thinking, if this is a precursor to what we're going to get in night two, then all the shenanigans and all, how long it was, like, I'm okay with it. Because in the context of this long story that we have been telling, it makes sense. So that part I was okay with.
Okay.
What really bothered me is that, and I know Rock had to get used to being back into the ring after who knows how long again. I forgot what Michael Cole said, how long.
8 years.
Been.
8 years, yeah. Officially. 8 years.
So we had to ease the Rock back into all this, but the first third of this match was really slow. And when the bell rang, it was like 10 whole minutes of everyone just staring down at each other. And the pomp and circumstance was taking a little too long. And then when we got to the outside and fighting in the audience, I thought that was okay. And then once the first table was broken, that's when everything shifted gears. And then we got into, you know, everything. The Rock and the sound that the belt made when he whipped Cody in the back with it was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I love, for me personally, and this is going to sound blasphemous, Seth was MVP for me in this match. Like, this man was running and doing everything, like curb stomps to everyone and their mother, just taking out pins, like the double pedigree that he and Cody did to Rock and Roman was fantastic.
Cool.
That was- I think, and I'm going to bring this up tomorrow during the night two review. I wish this intensity and the shenanigans is what we got in our actual Bloodline Rules match in night two.
Yeah.
But I'm going to save that discussion for tomorrow because I have bones to pick with it. It's a Bloodline match, but it was so much more tame than this actual tag team match was.
This
Roman middle, ended up bleeding from the lip at one point.
Like, Roman was bleeding all over his face. The middle third of this was very, very good. I don't want to make it seem like I'm lessening it because it should have been on Raw or SmackDown. But that first 10 minutes being super measured and giving everyone a chance to look at me, I'm back in the ring thing, that kind of was hard to get back the momentum from, I feel. But the middle third of this was like, oh, let's go. The Rock throwing shots on the outside. That Superman punch landed right on Cody's jaw. Like, that was clean. The double Superman kicks, like we talked about, Superman punch, super kicks. I want to say there was a barricade. Was that? There's a lot of spots at the end of this that were really violent and fun and
the Rock took a table bump.
Yeah, the Rock took that table bump there. Where is it? There's something else I want to talk about.
Right after the table bump, Roman speared Seth through the barricade.
Yes, thank you. That I wanted to look at again because that was the big joke. Was like, who does these barricades? They're always breaking the same barricade.
I had no, like, the only issue I had with this match was the split focus on going back and forth between what Seth is doing and Cody's. That's my only issue. The slowness of how it started to me was perfect.
You think so?
It's showing because The Rock had a final boss, I am it, get through me or you're going to lose aura. And that was how it started. The Rock's like, I'm it.
Okay.
Good. No matter how good you think you are, I am better. I am the final boss. And that's what I think they were trying to portray in that first 10 minutes. Why it was so slow, because it was portraying that you're in the ring with the man who's held the belt for over 1,300 days and beaten every single person besides Seth, because disqualification.
Yeah.
And the the biggest draw in this company's history.
What's great, there's another moment in here where Roman looks like a dirty mop. His hair is just up and he's
crazy at the end of the match. Yeah. He looked like he's seen some shit.
So in watching it in the moment, all 48, 49, whatever minutes of it, it lost. I tuned out a few times, and maybe that's ADHD talking, but I tuned out a few times, and that makes me sad because I was really looking forward to, oh my God, the Rock's here. However, that middle third is super fun, super clean. I see what you're saying, Minnie. It just didn't hit that way for me, but that I think it might have been written that way. It just didn't quite click.
It set up everything perfectly for night two. It wrapped night one up of we need to, like, what's going to happen night two? We need to come into night two.
And that's why I'm biased watching it now, because watching it now, knowing where we're going, it's clicking better for me. But only having this,
if this was just the main event and WrestleMania was over, it would be like, yeah, this match is
right.
But since this is a set up for night two and it set everything up for what night two is supposed to be,
I thought we were going to revisit The Rock getting speared by Roman on night two. I thought that was going to come back up. I thought that was, but so now
he sold that. Like, oh, he's got hit by a freight train.
Oh yeah. He sold it like he was going to die. Like, and I was
like, like, remember the, like, this is like, he sold it like how Big Show sold him falling on his nuts on the turnbuckle.
Good knowledge. I love the way The Rock takes a tag, like just sort of holds his hand. Like, you know, all the finesse things that The Rock does with there. Getting in that A-frame stance for everything, like, oh, it was The Rock, and that made me happy.
He hit the
yes,
come on to Cody, like, and Seth looked good for the, like, yeah, this was more focused on Cody, okay. Because this was his thing. But Seth, like, at first was wrestling circles around The Rock until The Rock started getting his wind underneath him. Yeah. And like I said, Seth freaking Rollins is the MVP of WrestleMania 40.
I think so. I think you're probably right. I'm trying to articulate because I can't think of it now. I'm looking at it now through the lens of night two, which isn't fair to it by itself. That middle third and probably the last 2 minutes really worked for me, but I tuned out off and on for the first 20 of this. Which I again could just be mean at them. I don't want to sound like I'm ragging on them either. But following Gunther, Sammy, following Rhea, Becky, I don't know. Mikey, words.
So to kind of keep this contained to night one, because, you know, it's really difficult having seen what happened in the main event of night two as well. I think I'm just going to repeat what I said after our little debrief, after just finishing night one and the four of us were sitting there talking about it for a couple minutes. I enjoyed the main event because it would set the precursor to what we would get in night two a little bit. Granted, night two hadn't happened yet. But again, I feel that the pacing is what kind of dragged it down a little bit. And I get that there's four individuals in said match. However, the video package plus all four entrances. And then finally, when the bell finally rang, it took 25 minutes to get through all of that, which is a lot. And then this match went about 40 minutes, which is the second longest match in WWE WrestleMania history, according to the record books.
Only 40? I thought it was way up there. Really?
Yeah, I think Bret Hart or one of the Hart's Iron Man matches went longer. So that's the longest match to ever happen.
Yeah, it was Bret and Shawn, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, their Iron Man match together, went the full 60 minutes, which was crazy. And, you know, I thought this was fun. Again, like I said, Seth was MVP for me in this whole entire match. And I did, because I saw some people complain, but I actually like that Cody got pinned in this, because then it stacked the odds against him for night two, where now he has this loss. He's the reason he got pinned. So he's technically the why they lost the match on night one. So now the odds are stacked up against Cody for night two. And so I thought this was fun. This was good, but that first half, the first third of the match really took me out of it. Second third was great, and then the final third is where everything kicked up for me.
Yeah.
By the end of this, I enjoyed it a lot more, and then upon second viewing, I appreciated what we got, but yeah, this was a really, really long match.
If you watch this like a soap opera, it worked.
Yes, it worked.
I watched it as a wrestling match. and checked parts out. Parts of it worked, but
yeah, parts of it worked, but parts of it did not, which is really, really tough to do. But yeah, ultimately, Rock and Roman end up getting the win. Cody gets pinned, and so night two would be a Bloodline rules match. We end night one with Rock and Roman celebrating in the ring, and beautiful camera work of recreating the meme that was Cody Rhodes looking depressed in the middle of that ring, like he was last year after night two of WrestleMania last year, as the logo pops up in WrestleMania night one. Goes off the air.
Anyone in the comments? Anyone in the comments have any thoughts or yay or nay? Or did we lose our viewer? We had a few in there, I thought.
You know what? If you are watching this live, let us know. I mean, we got a couple, we got some time before we get into our final ratings, but you can also leave us comments afterwards when the edited review goes up. Or if you're watching the replay, like, it was fantastic to have
mind the disclaimer, but come for us. Come for us, please.
Yes. Alrighty, boys. So final thing that we do, like we always do here at Grapple Gurus, we got to give our rating out of 10 on the empanada scale.
Empanada. So 10 empanada scale. All right.
And we're just looking at night one, try to be objective as possible.
Just night one.
We're going to pretend that night two we haven't watched yet, though we all did.
Night two never happened. If WrestleMania was only one night and this was WrestleMania, this is probably, it's hard to get my bias not looking through that lens of night two. I will say all of the Jimmy and Jay one excluding, right? All the matches were a lot of fun to watch. I checked out of the 45 minute one. We talked about that a little bit, but in the end of that, it was like, okay, I watched this. This was exciting for me. I love seeing R-Truth get the moment. I love watching Rhea and Becky. That was fantastic. Knowing what Becky went through now, even more impressive for sure. That ladder match was so much fun. Seeing The Rock take a table bump, Gunther and Sam, all of that. Sorry, I'm trying to talk myself into and out of the rating that I wanted to say. I'm kind of at an 8.5 or an 8. I'm pushing 8.5 because I'm looking through night two. I'm pulling down for 8 closer because I felt that the women deserved more time. I just feel like they should have gotten 2 or 3 or 4 more minutes. You got Jade out there finally after teasing her for so long. And we saw her in the ring, what, 60, 90 seconds? It's over. Like, come on. Particularly coming after that Jimmy and Jay. Like, the promo packages were pretty solid this time. They held my interest. They did a disservice to Jimmy and Jay because we were all juiced for that. So I'm kind of in that. I'm wavering, guys. It would be a 3 out of 5. So what does that mean, Mikey? Math works. That would be
if we double it, it would be a 6 out of 10.
Oh, is it really? Oh.
Okay, how about we
want to give
this?
It a 6?
Give it a okay. How about you give it a solid 7? Because
Is that okay? Does it sound like I'm wavering around a 7? Is that where I'm at?
6.5 to 7, if we were to do the halfway point, if it makes you feel better. 6.75, not necessarily bad, but you know what? If you want, I don't want to persuade you, but you could give it a 7. It's fine.
That's cool. Yeah,
We can come back to it once you hear the rest of our thoughts, and then maybe you can settle on a score.
I guess. I'm sorry, y'all. I tried to hang on to my opinions, and I've talked myself into and out of it.
Yeah, you sound like me, where I just go on about something. There's no point.
Normally, I'm really good. Thank you, Minnie. Normally, I'm pretty good about like this thing, and here's why.
Okay, so this is what I'll say. So I gave Night 1 a 7.5 out of 10.
7.5. Let's go 7.5. Thank you, Mikey. 7.5.
Yeah, 7.5 out of 10 empanadas for me, and my reasoning for it is that outside of Jimmy and Jay, which I thought was the worst match of the night and of both nights of WrestleMania, because there was just a big it factor missing from that match. And honestly, that's why I gave this 7.5 out of 10. I thought all the matches were really, really solid. I had an incredible time watching these matches, especially with some of the BC WrestlePod boys. But I feel that for the majority of these matches, while they were good, they were missing the X factor, the extra, just the spectacle that we come to expect from WrestleMania. This is the biggest event in the wrestling world. This is like the Super Bowl for WWE in terms of wrestling. And the ladder match obviously was the spectacle, and that was fantastic.
Yeah.
The in-ring work was great. But I feel that a lot of these matches were missing some sort of spectacle from it. And obviously, it's not fair to compare WrestleManias because being there live in person versus watching it is totally different. But I feel that had we added just some extra spice and some extra spectacle to some of these matches, I think I would have felt better about it because, spoiler alert, I feel that Night 2 did a better job of acting spectacles in different matches just by spots, stipulations, all those stuff. But I give it, I still thought it was a solid show, and this is a 7.5 for me.
See, this is where I come in and differ. As a setup show for Night 2, not watching Night 2, but this being a setup for what Night 2 is going to be, this show, if you take away the Jimmy J match, was a 10 out of 10 for me.
10 out of 10 for you.
If you take out the Jimmy J match.
So
that Jimmy J max makes it a 9.
No, you have it that high. That's it, why.
Okay, so yeah, the woman didn't have enough time, but you hit on the head. What more could they do?
And this is why I'm
you can give them more time, but it's everything they needed to do, they did in that short time that they had.
Yeah.
They booked Jade. Yeah, she was only in the match for a short amount of time, but you only need her in the match for a short amount of time to show what she's booked to be.
More than a short amount of time.
She was booked to be an invincible, like golden era, baby face. I'm going to wreck everybody. Bianca and Naomi did their things. They set themselves up for what's going to be coming up for them. The six-pack ladder match did what we've been asking WWE to do for the past 4 fucking years.
Yes,
and they split the tag titles.
It absolutely
I don't care who fucking won. They split the tag. R-Truth got his moment, something we've been wanting to see for years. Rhea and Becky blew the roof off as the opening match and set everything up. And the spectacle of the tag team match was the fucking Rock. He was the spectacle. That was the spectacle of that match. Him turning that entire match on its head, saying, this is a tag match. Nah, if you disqualify us, I'm going to fucking fire you. I'm going to beat the shit out of these guys with kendo sticks and everything else that they used. Right? I don't think they used kendo sticks in that one, but it set everything up that how Night 2 needed to be perfectly, minus that Jimmy J match. Jimmy J match is the only one that was missing something and needed that. It needed that that spice and that spectacle to it. If they made it like a legitimate, this is going to be an extreme rules match and actually did extreme rules shit.
All right.
Something was there. But Jay wasn't mad. Jay was like, I want my brother back. And Jimmy's like, nah, fuck you, dude. And that was it.
I'm going to go up 0.5 points and go back to 8, which I originally said. I just don't want to be the guy that always gives 8s because I've been doing that a lot.
A lot of shows are 8s.
You're right. If you look at The Rock as the spectacle of that match, not just a wrestler in that match, I buy it. I think it could have been more spectacular because you felt it, right? That 10 minutes, like you spoke to that it was like I was getting this final boss energy from the top of that. It didn't ring the same for me, but you are right to speak to. It's the spectacle of having The Rock there. And I agree with that. You warmed me up to that. I think it's good that we can dialogue, though. Like, that means they did something right if we can talk about it. Like,
that's exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're here for, man. Seriously.
As a whole, though, as a whole for the whole weekend, there's only one other big disappointment was there was a few entrances that should have been way better. Because WrestleMania always has some of the best entrances on the planet, and there were some great ones.
Fair.
But we'll talk about that with Night 2. There should have been some better ones for Night 1 as well. Some of the entrances could have been way better and way bigger.
I'm glad I'm not doing Night 2. I would have been all over the place on y'all. Goodness gracious.
Oh, don't worry. But, you know, before we sign off, let's give a little preview. So first and foremost, thank you for watching the Night 1 review. There were some disagreements, but you know what? We had, again, this right here.
We disagreed. We disagreed cordially, right? We didn't yell at each other.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally not going to... You know, hit John
the
Twitter.
Text message.
You, I don't know where Minnie's on the screen.
Lucha Dork just comes out of nowhere with a dropkick.
That'd be so funny. But just to give you a preview, so tomorrow for Night 2, myself and Minnie will be returning. So this will be the last review for WrestleMania Hell Week that I'm doing. And, you know, it's been a long weekend, but it's been a fun weekend for sure. But we will be tagging out the professor here, and we'll be tagging in JBL and Jesse. So the four of us are going to be reviewing Night 2 tomorrow, and it's going to be fantastic. But thank you for tuning into this live edition of Grapple Gurus for WrestleMania Night 1. We will catch you all tomorrow night for the finale of WrestleMania Hell Week for Night 2. But until then, take care of yourself, love one another, stay biconic, And more importantly than anything, spoiler alert, but like a certain someone, you deserve to finish your story. We will catch you tomorrow, but we will see you then. Ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's gonna happen next time? Well, you're gonna have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.